Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Good morning, Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola in for Bart Winkler. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is our insider from Brewers.com and MLB.com, Adam McAlvey. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Hello, John. Happy offseason.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, the people are a lot of calls, a lot of feedback, obviously, on the season and Game 7 on Saturday night. Do you think if Council had a chance to do anything over again on Saturday night, would he do anything differently? Was there anything differently you thought was a little different than you thought it was going to go on Saturday night?
No, the things maybe are small things. You know, do you fire your Domingo Santana bullet, so good as a pinch hitter, down the stretch earlier in the game instead of Johnny Scope in that first pinch hitting spot? You know, obviously he's trying to. You have to choose when you want to use those guys, and his bet is that there's going to be a spot later in the game for Domingo Santana, and there was. It ended up being bases empty. I mean, I think that you can make an argument that you'd rather see a better hitter with two guys on than Scope, who's just, you know. I mean, thank goodness for that grand slam he hit against Madison Bumgarner to win him a game in September. Mm-hmm. There would be just absolutely nothing to point to for Jonathan Scope. That was just not a good trade. That's I think the thing. You're aggressive with Josh Hader. That didn't surprise me at all. I thought he was going to be the first guy out of the bullpen. You trust Jeremy Jeffress because it's that idea again that that's the guy who got you there. And it did not surprise me at all that he pitched Jeremy Jeffress in that game. So I don't know that there was a lot of other things that surprised me in that game.
Well, Chacin going just two innings. Did Council feel, was he a little uneasy with him going a little further than that? Here's a guy who won 15 games, been so solid in the postseason, regular season. Why did he, I mean, just two innings?
Well, he didn't look that good. He was, the Dodgers were not swing, except for Manny Machado. Manny Machado was the only Dodger who swung at his slider. I think except for one other swing. They were just not going to swing at that pitch. So Chacin was forced to throw a fastball. Mm-hmm. That's what Bellinger hit out. I mean, I just think it was a reaction to the fact that he was not very good in that game.
Okay, so they didn't feel very good with him out there then. Okay. They realized he didn't have his best stuff.
I mean, I think there was a reaction to what the game looked like. Yeah, and you can't wait for a guy to find it in a game where, you know, there's no tomorrow. So I think, that one necessarily didn't surprise me either.
Talking with our insider Adam McAlvey here on The Fan. You know, I know the Brewers come up short here, and it hurts. But doesn't it feel like, Adam, that the Brewers were the better team in this series altogether? I mean, they had game two, they blew. They had a chance to win that one. Game four, they had every opportunity to win that one in extra innings. I just felt like the Brewers were more in control of the series than the Dodgers were. Would you agree?
I don't know. I mean, statistically, it's unbelievable how even that series was in the end. There was one run separating the two teams. The OPSs were similarly low. There was not a lot of offense. Pitching dominated that series. The pitching was almost completely equal in aggregate. The difference was the Dodgers' bullpen was much better in the series than the Brewers' bullpen. And Jeremy Jeffress was the one pitcher in particular. I know Joaquin Soria gave up some runs too, but Jeffress is, you know, that's their guy, one of their three top guys, and he got hurt in that series. Game two was the game. Because game two was a game that the Brewers count on winning because it's a game that they won over and over and over during the regular season, where you lead by three runs with 9 outs to go. I mean, that in the regular season, that was a victory. And when they lost that game getting away, I think you're right to point to, is a huge game in the series. Because the rest of the way it was, you know, I agree, the extra inning game, there were opportunities to win, but it's not as if they had, you know, it's not as if the council talks about that idea of putting pressure on the opposing team, and if you put pressure on them in enough innings, you crack through. There was very little pressure by the Brewers' offense on the Dodgers in that extra inning game. It was the Dodgers' pitching was really good, and it was finally Junior Guerra, who was very good, who gave up the run in what is fifth inning of work. So I'm not certain that was like a game where they had all these chances and were kicking themselves offensively. But that game too, man, that I think was the game that turned it. Because if you're up 2-0 going to L.A., it's a different outcome.
Yeah. I also think game four,
look,
too.
The difference in the – I don't know that one team was necessarily much better than the other. I just think the Dodgers got the late hit.
Yeah.
And that was the difference in the series.
I think the Brewers are going to look in, and this has been a problem all year long. I mean, they're going to look at themselves, their analytics, and the baseball guys there, Council and Stearns, and say, why with this lineup were we lacking in a clutch hit so many times? Why did we strand so many runners?
I think that the Dodgers have the best, you know, it was the top two pitching teams in the National League, you know, at least down the stretch.
But it's been like that all year long, though, I think, Adam.
The numbers don't really show that. They're a middle of the pack team for a runner, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position. If that's a stat that you, if that's the stat you're talking about, they're middle of the pack. So, you know, look, it definitely is the difference in the series that they didn't get the big hit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you picked up guys that had the experience in those spots. Moustakas was a disappointment in the postseason. Jesus Aguilar had the big game six, but had a very disappointing postseason. I think Lorenzo Cain is disappointed in himself, although he had a couple of games to kind of salvage it. But I think he would say he's very disappointed in the way he performed. He had opportunities to change some of those games. Yelich came on in the last two games and had what he had the double in game six and then a big homer to give him a lead in game seven. But he would tell you he's very disappointed in the way he performed in the postseason. The bats, you know, you can say the bats went quiet, but I think you can also say that the Dodgers are a very good team. You know, Walker Buehler comes out throwing 100, Clayton Kershaw a bunch of times. They've never scored a run against Kenley Jansen. Ryan Madsen turned into a big-time postseason performer for the Dodgers. Pedro Baez got right down the stretch for the Dodgers and is nasty. The Dodgers are set up, you know, as a very good pitching team, and now, you know, they're going to get a bigger test in the World Series. It's kind of the best pitching against the best hitting in the World Series, and a lot of people are guessing the Red Sox are going to walk all over the Dodgers. I get a lot of messages like that saying whoever wins the NLCS is just going on to get crushed by the Red Sox. But we'll see. I mean, if the Dodgers have a chance, it's going to be because their pitching is just fantastic.
Again, talking with our insider, Adam McKelvey, here on Chuck and Winkler. You know, as we look ahead to the offseason and the changes that could be coming for the Brewers, I'm just trying to figure out what exactly the changes are, because there's only a handful of guys that are going into free agency. There's a bunch of guys that are going to be going through arbitration. There's going to be a couple of guys that have options. But, Adam, I don't know if I really see any wholesale changes being done to this Brewers team this offseason, do you?
Well, the one spot where I think it's going to have a domino effect is the Moustakas thing, because his is a mutual option, and even if the Brewers are willing to invest $15 million in him for next year, he's probably going to be a guy that declines and takes another shot at the free agent market after last year being, you know, a pretty big disaster for him. You know, a lot of players had a hard time in free agency last year, and Moustakas was almost the poster boy for that. So I think he's going to want to take another shot at that. That would make Travis Shaw your third baseman and then leave you this hole at second base. And, you know, when they made the Jonathan Schoop trade, it was obvious that it was made with a year and a half in mind. He's a guy who's arbitration eligible. They were going to go into that process with him. make him the second baseman, and it bridges the gap, or at least gets you close to bridging, to Keston Hira. Scope was so bad that now I'm less certain of how that decision is going to play out. Maybe because you invested so much in him in that trade, you have to give it a shot for next season and just roll the dice that a fresh start with the winner behind him can, you know, help him produce and help you next year. Maybe they just have to kind of take that risk, because at this point you kind of put the chips in on him. But I think that call is going to be one that sort of is, you know, the dominoes fall other areas. Position wise, you know, they don't have a lot of holes to fill. Even if you bank on, you know, a Ryan Braun, as he, you know, again gets up there in age and towards the end of his deal, if you think you're going to need more at bats in the outfield, they've kind of got him with Domingo Santana and just, you know, some of the other guys they have in the system. Maybe catcher is an area where you can find a guy to take that spot instead of the mix and match that they did on the stretch. That's an area they could certainly look at. And then look, there's always going to be pitching additions. And the comp that's interesting, just because there's so many Kansas City Royals on this team, you're going to hear, I think, a lot this winter about the transition from the 2014 to 15 Royals, when they got to the World Series and got Madison Bumgarner in 2014 and then came back and beat the Mets in 15. And if you look at the changes on that team, they lost Billy Butler, which was a big loss. But they added Edison Volquez to the rotation, and he ended up being a guy that helped them. They added Alex Rios to the outfield. They added Ryan Madsen to the bullpen, and they were a better team for it the second year. So, I was looking at this yesterday, and Dayton Moore kind of was criticized for his moves between those 2 years, that some thought he should have done more, but it ended up he did kind of just the sort of relatively small moves. Volquez was a 2-year deal, I think. And it ended up that the core of that team is what lifted them and made them better the following season. So maybe some similarities there. Maybe David Stearns, you know, he's definitely going to add pitching. Every team adds pitching. So if you add one more big time guy to that bullpen, and you have, because the Soria's out, but the other main guys are all back. You know, if you can kind of make a super bullpen, and now you've got you have Sassine coming back, you have these young guys who were so good in the postseason, I think totally changed the way that they're going to be looked at coming into next year. I'm talking about Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns just pitched some huge late innings during the postseason. And I think Freddie Peralta's in this camp too. Those guys are going to make some starts for the team next season and be a big part of this. That leaves you one or two spots for Jimmy Nelson, who's just a wild card coming back from surgery. You don't know what you're going to have with him, but he's going to be part of it. Chase Anderson and Zach Davies, who are totally marginalized at the end, but were big parts of the plan coming into last season. So they're going to be there. And then, you know, at some point in the season, Brent Suter. I think you have to look at Zach Brown as at some point in the season next year coming up and doing something. So they have a ton of depth to bring up in that pitching staff. And you know, those guys are going to start, but maybe the era of these 7-inning, 8-inning starters is just completely gone. And maybe there is some sort of combination where you use a lot of those guys to start games or piggyback like they did in the postseason. And you kind of get, you let those guys come in and air it out for like 4 innings at a time. And maybe they cobbled together kind of a unique pitching staff last year where it's more than the 5 starters that we're used to. I don't know exactly how it's going to go, but you can see the pieces in place. And this was talked about a lot in the clubhouse after the game, that they should be pretty good again next year. But look, no guarantees. You don't know. And 2011 taught us that.
Yeah. Adam, we're going to try to get you on here in the near future to talk about some of the things that might be going on in the offseason, because there's some things that I want to talk to you about. And get your take on. So appreciate it. You've been great all season long, accommodating us on a Monday morning, and we'll talk to you very soon here.
Yeah, guys, sounds good. Yeah, there'll be news starting after the World Series. There's a lot of options on this team, tons of arbitration guys on this team. So there's going to be there'll be plenty of news for us to fill some air with baseball. I know we're using that word earlier than everybody wants, but spring will come. Spring will come. It always does.
Yeah, right after the NFC Championship game, they got the those guys will be reporting, or Super Bowl actually, they'll be reporting very soon. Yeah. So, all right, man, thanks a lot.
All right, see you guys.